Here's what I get to do now. I'm so excited about what comes next. As you know, we've been in a series this summer on what? The fruit of the Spirit. And we've been talking about different aspects of this fruit of the Spirit, different manifestations of it. And I started to separate that. I knew some of the days that I wouldn't be speaking or wouldn't be here in town, and even some of the days I would be, I started giving it to some different pastoral staff members. Now we have two of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit we haven't talked about yet. Joy. And I'm going to be next week talking about the joy at actually the Autry up on the platform. I got about a 10-15 minute sermon on joy, and we're going to celebrate all that God's doing and allow the joy to not only be evident, but talk about what God wants to do in true joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit. But the only other fruit that we haven't talked about yet is patience. Some of you knew that. You've been keeping track. Patience. And when I looked at the list of the fruit of the Spirit, I thought to myself, I better assign patience to somebody other than me, right? Because we want to preach what we practice and practice what we preach. So the person I assigned it to is one of the most patient people that I know, and I should know because I've lived with her for 20 years. My wife, Deborah, is one of the most patient people in the world, and she really has to be married to me. There's no question about that. I read her sermon a couple of days ago and was blown away and was actually transformed and changed just by reading it. Sitting in service, first service, the Lord spoke to my heart about things I need to change in my life. And I know he's going to speak new things to my heart this next service. Deborah pastors alongside of me. She's not up front all the time speaking, but she and I carry the responsibility of the church on the way together. So she's your pastor too. I love this woman with all of my heart. There's nobody I love more than Deborah than except for Jesus. I love listening to her speak the word of God because she knows the word of God and she knows the word of God, Jesus Christ. She's got Jesus all over her. So let's listen and let's be ready to be transformed as Deborah comes and shares with us.
Love you. Good morning. It is good to be here with you. As summer's coming to an end. I know the calendar doesn't really say that, but my kids go back to school next week, so summer's almost over. But I am really excited to be here this morning to share some things that God's laid on my heart, because we love you. So, yes, Tim gave me patience. And as I started preparing for this, the word that came to mind first was instant gratification. Because we want what we want when we want it. And generally, in this new era that we live in, we get what we want when we want it. And I thought of a number of examples of this. The first one is fast food. If I want dinner quickly, I can go through a drive-thru, I can talk to a little box, tell them what I want, and when I get to that last window, I expect that my food is going to be waiting for me, handed out the window, I can eat just like that, fast food. TV shows. Some of you have only known TV on demand or a DVR. You can watch what you want whenever you want. I didn't grow up that way. I had to wait for Saturday morning to watch cartoons. And as I got a little bit older, I had to wait for Thursday night for must-see TV. Doesn't work that way anymore. You can watch whatever show you want, whenever you want, and you don't even have to wait for the next episode to come out because they'll drop the whole season at once and you can just binge watch it all because we want to know what happens next. Shipping. You know, I used to order a few things online and it was really amazing when you could get two-day shipping. And then I found this company called Zappos, and they would give me shoes the next day. If I ordered it by 1 p.m., the next day those shoes, the UPS man would drop them up at my house. Do you know that now I can order something from Amazon, and they will bring it to me that day? I don't have to wait. 48 hours used to seem really good. Now, if I have to wait 2 days, I'm like, whatever, I'm not ordering from you. I want it today. And information. We used to sit around and say, I wonder what time the movie starts. Oh, I wonder what traffic's like today. I wonder how long it's going to take me to get to work. I wonder what the weather's going to be tomorrow when I go to the beach. Then, a few years ago, something quite magical happened. Tim and I got smartphones. I said I didn't want one, I didn't need one, and now I kind of regret that I did want and need one. But we got our smartphones and we coined this, I don't know if we made it up. I'm gonna say we made it up. We said it all the time. We would, when someone would say, oh, I wonder, you know, what's going on over here? We would say, people with smartphones don't wonder. You don't have to wonder anymore because you can find out anything you want to know anytime you want to know it. You can say, oh, I wonder how many miles it is to the Grand Canyon. You can just look it up on your phone. I wonder how late Salt and Straw is open because they have this, oh, it switched. July was berry month at Salt and Straw. You could have all things berry in their ice cream. And I didn't have to wonder if I could go there at midnight and get ice cream because I could just look it up, find out how late they're open. I wonder what a good recipe for cherry pie is. Well, you don't have to wonder any of that. You can just look it up. And now you don't even have to take the time that it takes you to type the question, because really, who has time for that? I'm not a good texter. I use one finger. My kids make fun of me. Now you just have to say it. Let's try this. Hey, Siri. What year was George Washington born?
George Washington was born February 22nd, 1732.
1732. You no longer have to wonder what year George Washington was born, because you can find out anything you want to know. Which sounds really great. All of these really fast things, instant gratification, give me what I want when I want it. But then, as I started preparing this sermon, I started thinking about that a little bit. And I thought, you know, maybe my food would taste better, maybe my food would be healthier for me if it wasn't ready in 3 minutes or less. Maybe there's something kind of fun about getting to the end of a TV episode. The big explosion happens. You don't know who's alive, who's dead. You have to wonder about it all week and talk to your friends and say, did this person die? Are they alive? It was actually kind of fun. I hate to admit it, but when Lost was on, we did that a lot. We wondered what happened, but we couldn't find out right then because the episode wasn't going to be on for 3 weeks. And maybe it's not so great that we've lost that sense of wonder. It's okay to have to think about something for a while, to have that curiosity, maybe to have to actually solve a problem, not instantaneously. Maybe it's okay to wonder for a while and talk about the possibilities. And just maybe it's okay to wait. But we don't wait very well, do we? At least I don't wait very well. We have been trained to get it done. Do it quickly, take care of it right now. We talk fast. We walk fast. We, some of us more than others, drive fast. We eat really fast because I used to be convinced my children were afraid that I was going to take their food away from them if they didn't hurry up and eat it. Just everything's a race. We got to go, go, go. And then we're done. We're like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's going to happen? Well, when Tim was passing out the fruit of the Spirit, there was something deep inside of me that knew I needed to talk about patience. Now, Tim will tell you that I'm patient, but in my heart, I know that that's something that the Lord has been working on me with for a while now, something that's just being worked out in my life. So as I started to pray for this sermon, I saw a meme. My children mocked me a little bit. Apparently, memes aren't cool, and that's all right. You can think I'm not cool, but this meme said perfectly what I was thinking. And it says, Lord, bless me with patience. Not opportunities to be patient. I've had plenty of those and they don't seem to be working. The actual patience. Sometimes our prayer, right? As soon as Tim assigned patience to me, I kid you not, the opportunities for me to be patient came rolling in. It was amazing. Every lane I drove in was slow. Every line I got in was long, and it was almost laughable. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. I'm going to learn to be patient. I was at CVS one day, and it was laughable to me, the number of people in line. I think I counted 9 people in front of me, about 6 or 7 people behind me. The self-checkout, which I always choose to use if I can when I'm in a hurry, was not working, and there was one checker, and bless her heart, I'm pretty sure it was her second day on the job. And I stood there laughing. Now, usually I like to chat with people in line. I always have something to say. I try to be friendly. And when we walk away, my kids will say, Mom, Do we know them? Who was that? I don't know. I'm just making friends with people in line. That particular day, though, there were two gentlemen on either side of me, and you can just kind of tell when people don't want to chat. So I didn't talk to these gentlemen, but had they looked like maybe they wanted to carry on a conversation in line, I would have apologized to them, because I am convinced that that line was long that day for me. Because it was that opportunity to learn patience. I had somewhere to be, and it wasn't moving really fast. So we don't want situations that make us patient. We just want to be patient. But just like the other things in our life, that instant gratification, maybe that's not the best thing for us, that really fast food or the really quick information. It's not the healthiest path for us to take. So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and at the very beginning of the summer, Pastor Tim talked about the fruit of the Spirit being singular. It is one fruit. Now, we've all shown you different pieces of fruit to go along with our fruit of the Spirit. So we saw cantaloupe and oranges and raspberries and strawberries. Today, I'm going to talk about cherries. But it's not multiple fruits. It is one fruit of the Spirit. So we don't get to pick and choose which fruit we want in our lives. We can't decide that, oh, maybe this fruit will be really prevalent, but I don't really want so much of that one. I don't get to say, you know, I am a very kind person, but I'm just not so faithful. Or I am so full of joy, but please do not ask me to exercise self-control, because that is not a fruit of the Spirit that I have. And I can't say, oh, I really love people. Of course I do. God tells me to love people, but some people I just cannot be patient with. It's all one fruit growing from the same tree, and it is one package that comes all together. So if we are people who have given our lives to Jesus, if we've made him the Lord of our lives, if he's our Savior, we are full of the Spirit. But my question today would be, are we people that are living Spirit-filled lives? Are we people that are producing the fruit of the Spirit? James 3:12 says, can a fig tree bear olives? Well, that seems like a silly question. Of course not. A fig tree is going to bear what? Figs. I'm going to get olives from an olive tree. And I have an orange tree in my backyard. I would never go out there and expect to pick an apple off of my orange tree. It's an orange tree, and it's going to give me oranges. And what I realized was the kind of tree I am determines the kind of fruit that I bear. Matthew 7:16-20 talks about this. I have a few different verses I'm going to go through today. You are welcome to turn there in your Bible. They'll also be on the screen, but we're kind of jumping around a little bit. Matthew 7:16-20 says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. And as I read this, I started to think personally about my life. And I thought, okay, I am a Christian. I walk with the Lord. I am full of the Spirit. But when people look at me, what kind of tree do they see? When they see my character and my actions that go along with who I am, do they think to themselves, that right there is a Spirit-filled person. She's got the fruit of the Spirit all over her life. Or do they look at my life and wonder if maybe I'm a thorn bush or a thistle? The fruit of the Spirit is not natural. We are not born with it. We can't manufacture it. Last week when Tim talked about goodness, he talked about that mankind would like to believe that we are born good, and it's only when we make some bad choices that we become bad. But the Bible tells us that we are born with a sin nature. We are born bad. And the fruit of the Spirit, all of these amazing things that we can see in our lives, are only a byproduct of living life with the Spirit. We live by the Spirit and we walk by the Spirit. So today I want to talk specifically about patience in our lives and what that might look like. And the actual definition of patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And when you hear patience, for me anyway, I tend to think about just waiting. Can I wait in line? Can I be patient if someone in front of me is slow? And while that is part of patience, there's more to it that I discovered as I was looking at this. And the three things I want to talk about today are patience in regards to waiting in our day-to-day life, patience in regard to our waiting on God in our lives, and patience in regards to how God treats us. So first, patience in our day-to-day living. Philippians 2:3-4 says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. When I'm impatient, when I'm in a hurry, when I'm bothered, when the line's just not moving fast enough, am I valuing others above myself? Am I looking out for their interests, or is it all about me? We live in LA, so a very easy example to talk about patience is traffic. I've lived in other places, and there's some traffic. What I found in Oregon, my brother was here for service. We were talking about Oregon, and I think the problem in Oregon is they just all drive really slow. Here, we drive really fast, but there's so many cars. So when I'm driving, I'm in a hurry, I'm running late. I don't really care about the other cars around me. I don't really care if they're late. I kind of assume that they left on time and they have plenty of minutes left to get where they need to be. I, on the other hand, am really in a hurry, so you should just get out of my way. I'm late, I'm impatient, and I realize whether it's me driving or me running in, maybe to grab a coffee on my way to that meeting that I didn't really have time to stop for, but if the line would just move faster, I would be okay. So I wonder if the issue is really just needing to wait, or if the issue is that I care more about my needs than the people around me. And often what I discovered in this little study is that I'm putting my needs first. I have made it all about me. I need to get somewhere. I need to be done with whatever we're doing here. I shouldn't have to wait. My impatience seems to be directly related to my selfishness. Whether it's driving or waiting in line, it really seems to be because I have made it all about me. Tim and I have three kids. One of them is a 16-year-old son, and 16 means we now have a third driver in the house. And an amazing thing happened when my son started driving. There's a lot of things that happen. It's a little scary for a mom to let him be in control. He's actually a very good, conscientious driver. But when Caleb started driving, I started becoming a more patient driver. Because when Caleb's driving, I want him to take his time. I don't want him to go too fast and get us there too quickly. I don't want him to make that left-hand turn unless we're really confident that there is time and space for him to make that left-hand turn. And if he needs to wait a few cars, I'm okay with that. And what I realized is I wanted the other cars around me to be okay with that too. I don't have a sign, although I would like to get one, that says student driver. It's like, okay, he's just learning how to drive. Everyone be patient with him. But as I was learning to, let my son take his time, be a safe driver, I wanted everyone else to be patient with him. And it may have been my 10-year-old daughter who pointed out to me that, Mom, maybe those other people that you talk to when you're driving, they can't hear you. My kids tell me that all the time. Mom, they can't hear you. I'm like, it makes me feel better to talk to them. Pointed out to me that maybe they're just learning how to drive. Maybe they can't see as well as you. Maybe whatever the reason is, but it helped me realize that it wasn't all about me. And maybe I need to be a little bit more patient, a little bit more understanding of whatever situation they might be in. And maybe, just maybe, I should leave a little earlier. So if someone slow gets in front of me, I'll still have time to get where I'm going. So I want to be patient in regards to how I treat other people. And what I realized for me is that means putting others first. Not making it all about me, but being willing to slow down and put other needs before mine. The second thing I want to look at is patience in regards to waiting on God in our lives. Do you feel like you wait for God sometimes? Psalm 40 is a psalm of David, and it says this: I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. I waited patiently for the Lord. And then he turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out. He set my feet. He gave me a firm place, and he put a new song in my heart. When I read those first few verses of Psalm 40, it says, I, one time. I wait. And then it says, he, six times. It tells me six things that God did while I was waiting, or in this case, while David was waiting. My part is to wait. Wait patiently, trust God, and know that he is going to do the work. If I give him time and space, he will move. It says David is waiting patiently, and that translates to waiting, I waited. So there's just a lot of waiting going on. But David has seen God's hand of deliverance. God delivered David time and time again. God has been faithful, and David trusts that God's faithful in the future. And so the result of that isn't only a strong foundation and a new song in David's heart, it's joy for him, but the result also showing me once again that it's not just about me, or in this case, just about David. It says that then many will see and fear and put their trust in God, because we're willing to wait. Waiting isn't easy, I know that. But if we trust God and believe he is who he says he is, he's gonna do what he's promised. And we don't need to be anxious, we don't need to worry, we just wait. And as we wait, God acts. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Do we trust God? Even when our circumstances don't look like we want them to, can we trust him and not worry, but be strong and take heart? James 5:7 says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. So as we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit this summer, each of us speaking have chosen a fruit to go along with it. And I chose cherries. So I have my bucket of cherries here. I thought about pomegranate because I think Tim suggested this. Pomegranates, you can't just bite into it. It takes a lot of work. You have to be patient to eat a pomegranate. But, right? Yeah, and they're messy too, my goodness. But I chose cherries because there is a particular cherry tree, a sweet cherry that can take up to 7 years after you plant it to actually bear fruit. Now, you've probably heard the saying, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree is today. But in the case of cherries, I guess the best time to have planted that tree would have been at least 7 years ago. Because if I had planted that cherry tree 7 years ago, I would have beautiful ripe cherries today. Instead, Tim had to go to Ralph's this morning and buy their very last bag of cherries. I think we're getting to the end of cherry season, so that I could talk about waiting that 7 years. And when I was doing my research on different fruit, there was an agricultural site that they sell trees and bushes and seeds, and it was saying all the benefits of gardening. And it gave reasons that people list that they don't want to garden. And they said the number one reason they give is time. I don't have time to garden. And what they said was they actually don't mean time, they mean patience. They don't want to wait 3 years or 4 years or 7 years or however long it's going to be before that tree gives me fruit. So instead, I don't worry about planting the tree because I don't have time to wait for that. I'm just going to keep running to the store. Maybe if I go to the orchard or the farmer's market, I might get some really good cherries, but I settle for second best fruit, fruit that was picked a long time ago, had to travel to the store. I had to buy it instead of having fresh, amazing fruit growing in my backyard on a tree because I was patient enough to plant the tree, to cultivate it, and to wait for the fruit. And I think this is true in our life so many times. We don't have the time or the patience to wait. It seems like too much work, so we don't want to invest in those things that really are going to benefit us or the people around us later in our lives. So we don't get the fresh cherries, we just get the store-bought cherries. But the Bible instructs us to wait patiently, just like the farmer waits for the crops to produce fruit. And God is faithful. He will do what he said, and he will return one day for us. Third, I want to look at God's patience toward us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. God is so patient with us. He is the God of second chances, and he's the God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. We see it all over in the Bible, and I know we've seen it in our personal lives too. But in the Bible, we see people that really messed up, and God still gave them another chance. He still loved them. He still saw his purposes in them come to fulfillment. We see it with Adam and Eve in the garden. We see it with David over and over, with Bathsheba, with poor choices that he made. Jonah just completely ran away from God, and God gave him another chance. Paul was persecuting Christians before he was saved and ended up doing amazing things for the early church. Peter denied the Lord, and over, God gave them second chances because God is so patient with us. There's all these people in the Bible and people that you know, it could even be us personally. We've messed up over and over, but God's patience does not run out for us. We're actually deserving of death. God sent his son to pay the price for us though, so we don't have to pay that price. He died on the cross because he so wants to be with us, to forgive us of our sins. He wants to see all of us come to repentance, and he will wait patiently for us. Patiently waiting for God's promises. What are some things that God's promised you? Are there things in your life that you know God said were going to happen and you've been waiting for them? What are those things he's promised, and what are you doing about it? In Genesis 15, we see Abraham and Sarah were promised a son, their own flesh and blood, and then they were told that their descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But then in Genesis 16, about 10 years later, when Sarah was 75 years old, kind of looks like they got tired of waiting. They said, you know, God gave us this promise. It's really not working out like he said. I'm getting old, so let's stop waiting for God. Let's take care of this ourselves. We can make this promise come to pass. So Sarah suggested that Abraham sleep with her slave, and they were going to fulfill this promise on their own. But that was not what God had in mind. That wasn't his promise. That wasn't how he was going to fulfill the promise. But in spite of Abraham and Sarah messing up, taking things into their own hand, God still loved them. God was still patient with them, and he still fulfilled his promise to them. God did not give up on them, and God does not give up on us. He is loving and patient with us, even when we take things into our own hands and try to do it ourselves. So the question today is, do I trust him? Do I believe his promises, and am I willing to wait for his perfect timing, knowing that I can't take things into my own hand? Waiting, it can be hard, but when we realize that God is God and he is faithful and we stop trying to do his job, it gets a little less difficult. The last thing I want to look at is 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter, and it starts off saying this in verse 4, love is patient. The first word that Paul uses to define love for us in 1 Corinthians 13 is patient. And I started really thinking about my attitude. In my heart, was I patient? When I'm frustrated in line, it's internal. It's very rare that I will actually complain. I'm not going to yell at the checker that's taking a long time. I'm not going to give a hard time to people that maybe cut in front of me in line. The only people that will hear me complain about that are my poor children. When they're in the car with me or they're waiting in line, they know that mom's upset. But the people around me, especially those that don't know me very well, I don't want them to know I'm upset. And really, that's my pride that comes in. I want to look good to everyone else. They'll say that I'm really patient, but I know that in my heart, I am so frustrated because couldn't you have counted your pennies before you got up to the front of the line? It's a glimpse into my heart. Is my heart right? Am I loving, or am I more concerned with looking good to other people? So I might appear that I'm patient, but really inside I am frustrated with you. The first definition of love is patient, and I'm so easily able to become impatient. Am I truly loving people with God's love? Now, some people can be really easy to love. There's the people that get us, they're kind of similar to us, the people that move quick, drive fast, they don't take too long in line. Those people, they don't cause us any grief, they don't cause me to be impatient. But what about the people that maybe we don't quite get, or they don't quite get us, and they don't move as fast as we'd like them to, they kind of try our patience? Can I be patient with those people? Can I love them? Am I loving them like God loves me? unconditionally and with great patience over and over and over, loving me even when I mess up. As we are becoming people who we are full of the Spirit resides in us if we have Jesus in us, are we people that are then living lives that look Spirit-filled? Are we bearing fruit that reflects his character? And if that's the case, then we should be full of love, which is patient. The rest of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, goes on to say this about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Last week when Tim was talking about goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, and he talked about, you know, if these things are true of believers, they could say it about the church, could they say it about us? And he ended by inserting his name into these different fruit, saying, Tim is loving, Tim is joyful, Tim has peace, Tim is patient. And we realize that can be hard to say sometimes because we know we all fall short. Would I be able to say without cringing a little bit, Deborah is patient, and know that it's true? As we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, we know that we cannot manufacture it that on our own. I cannot wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to be patient and I'm going to do it all by myself, because I can't be patient. I'm not patient, I'm not loving, I'm not kind, unless the Spirit is living in me and his life is being expressed through me. And some of you have been trying for a really long time to do it on your own. You fall short, the self-control, the patience, the kindness, and you finally just decided, well, I'm just not a kind person. You're not a kind person, but the Holy Spirit living in you will show kindness and love and patience and gentleness, and that's the kind of life we want to live. Spirit-filled people walking in the Spirit. So that our lives will look more and more like the fruit of the Spirit. So we will be able to say that these things are true of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. And if the Spirit is alive in us, then we should look more and more like love as well. Patient and kind, keeping no record of wrongs, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering. That's the kind of tree that I want to be. That's the kind of tree that God has called all of us to be, not on our own, not trying to manufacture it, but because we're full of the Spirit, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit and look more and more like him. Let's pray.